Galatians chapter 1, let's start reading in verse number 10. You follow along. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion. Notice that word, religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the, notice the next word, what is it? Church of God, and wasted it. Notice religion and church are different there. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, listen to me carefully. Let me help you. I'm going to lay a quick foundation, and then I'm going to teach you tonight. Because we humans are ruled and run by sin, we seek approval from other people. Isn't it amazing how much we do in life and we want other people to recognize it? We want to be recognized for what we do. We want somebody to see what we did. We want somebody to pat us on the head and say, you did a good job. Somebody didn't take their meds. Human pride causes us to never want someone to disagree with us. Because we did it, it was right. Our pride and our desire to be right so much causes us, it makes it to where people think, well, it couldn't be wrong, I did it. This is a sinful trait. Wanting people's approval about everything we do is a sinful trait. Listen to me very carefully. I aim to please God, not Grace Baptist Church. I'd like you to be in agreement with God. When we are, things are going good. When I kowtow to please the people instead of God, we have problems. I should desire to please him, not you. I should desire to please him, not me. Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. We're about to get to where it's going to hurt. This is a little harsh, but I don't know how else to illustrate it. I find nowhere in Genesis chapter 1 where God went around asking the angels, did you see what I made down there? Did you see how pretty it looked? Didn't I do good? I find nowhere in Genesis 1 where God asked somebody else. But it does say, and it was good. And God rested and looked at all he did, that it was good. He didn't seek approval from any other being. God did not go through the angels and say, let me show you what I made down here. He didn't take the Spanish angels and show them Mexico. No. He just said, I did it. It was my words. It is good. I don't need anybody else's approval. God satisfied himself with his work, and it was good. this is going to hurt real hard. God didn't seek man's opinion on a helpmeet. God made it and made him woman, took her from his rib and said, this is now bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. She shall be called woman. Say, why didn't he ask Adam? Because he probably would have just had another co-worker and we'd all been sodomites. That's how man thinks. Look where man's at today. God didn't seek man's approval on a spouse. Yet, God didn't seek approval for anything else that he did. It is only sinful man that seeks approval from other sinful people. I love people very much. But I'm not supposed to seek approval from anybody on what that book says. Amen. I ain't changing it. I've been preaching it for almost 44 years. I've come too far to turn back now, and they don't make the person make me change what that book says. Amen. Now, I like it when some of my preacher friends call and say, hey, like Dr. Caudill did the other day, and he said, preacher, he said, I need you to pray for me, but man, I was listening to your radio broadcast this morning, and he said, wow. I like when they do that, but I don't care if he calls me back and says, well, you're a heretic. I disagree with you on that. It's out of the Bible. Disagree with God. You don't have to disagree with me. You'll be doing all right. Now, I like the good ones, but we don't like the bad ones. But guess what? Doesn't change what we're supposed to do. Wrong page of notes. Hang on. I have people I love who have separated from me because of my strong stand on that book right there, and I'm not changing. I have men with whom I went to school. I have men with whom I worked. I have men with whom made one which made a covenant that said, we'll never get out of the ministry. We'll always be friends. And I haven't talked to him in over 22 years. Why? Because they changed, I didn't. They want to make me look to be the one that's doing all the changing. No, because I didn't change, it revealed their change. I stayed straight, they were veering, and now it makes them look bad, so they got to say that I'm the one that veered, not them. They want man's approval. I want God's. Now, I have desires to be liked by others, but I'm not going to be liked at the price of changing right and wrong. Let me say that again. I would like to be liked by others, but I am not going to be liked by others at the price of changing right and wrong for anybody. Amen. Folks, we're not going to get drum sets and bouncy balls and all the stuff on the high-tech screens and everything else just to accommodate a wicked society today. Say, well, you're awful old-fashioned. Thank you very much. I figure if it pleases God, then it's right. And I don't have to worry about pleasing everybody else. We're not going to get a swimming pool and set it up for teenagers to come swim to get people to come to church on Saturday or Wednesday night so the teenagers can strip down naked and swim while the adults are in having a Bible study. Church less than 2 miles from where I'm standing right now does that every year. Now, I'm not changing right and wrong for anybody. I can say this. I didn't change it when my kids were little or teenagers. I'm not going to change it for your kids or your teenagers. I'm old enough to say that now. We shouldn't live to please people. We should live in order to please God. By the way, if my children go against what I preach is right, I'll still preach right. Well, your kids don't believe everything you believe. Take it up with them, not me. I would still preach what God said. Come on now. Let's just put it where it's at. We think that this life is so important. But what about eternal life?
You're right.
This life is like a vapor. Appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Eternity is long. Eternal life is far more important than this life. Sinful man and this world are temporary. God is eternal and everlasting. I want you to notice back in Galatians chapter 1, look at verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if yet I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm going to make a statement here. These churches that start taking polls to find out what everybody wants in a church and starts building their church based on what the community wants aren't pleasing God, they're pleasing man. By the way, you're seeing a decline in some of these rock and roll community churches because people are starting to find out it's fake. They're struggling a bit. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Might as well. I dumped half the load. Might as well lift the gate the rest of the way. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have an ATM machine at church or direct withdrawal for your tithes. There are churches in this area by the scores that are now when people join the church, they are setting them up with direct withdrawal for their tithe out of their bank account. God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He didn't say, take it.
Amen.
If you can't bring it, God don't need it. And he'll get it some other way from you. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, preacher, we could have so much. I'm not in this thing to make money. I'm in this thing for people to love God and do what's right.
That's good, preacher.
There's so much I want to say, but I only have 28 minutes. Here we go. Number one, we need to please God with right doctrine. We need to please God with right doctrine. Look at Galatians chapter 1 again. Look at verse number 9. As we said before, so say now I again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at me for a second. Do you know that the Apostle Paul was one of the few people that could say the only place he learned the gospel was from Jesus Christ himself? This is not, let's put ourselves back in that day. If I were the Apostle Paul that was struck off my horse on the road there, and God spoke to me, Jesus spoke to me, Acts chapter 9, we'll see it in a moment. And I got saved by Jesus himself saying, Paul, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why persecutest thou me? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I give. I'll get saved. I'll do whatever you want. Watch this. If I got my doctrine directly from Jesus himself, it'd be foolish for our church to change what they believe, right? Well, I hate to tell you something. I got my doctrine directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word is Jesus Christ. Therefore, I got my doctrine from Jesus himself, not from the traditions of men, not from religion, The gospel is not a doctrine about pleasing man. It is a doctrine about pleasing God.
Amen.
Listen to me very carefully here. You say, well, you might offend somebody. At least I know they're listening. The gospel doesn't offend God. It's amazing to me how many people get, I can be real friendly at the door and then say, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven, how upset and offended they get? Can I tell you why? Because they want to be their own God. They're not that bad. Well, the gospel doesn't offend God, who is sinless. It only offends man's sinful pride. Religion, listen to me, religion is man telling God how God must accept what man does. In the book of Jude, it says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain. Cain said, I don't need to do what God said. I'll do it my way, or I'm not doing it, God. He brought a sacrifice, but it was of the land, not of blood. Now be careful. Religion is after Cain. It is man saying, well, we can get baptized and get saved. We can do the sacraments and be saved. We can have somebody pour water on our head or sprinkle water on our head when we're a baby and we'll go to heaven. Or we can buy candles at $20 or $30 or $40 a piece and light them for our ancestors so they can get out of hell or what's the in-between? Yeah, that's a place. I was going to say marriage, but that's not it. But get out of purgatory earlier. The traditions of man. Well, you can pray through Mary. She's the mother of God, and Jesus would have to listen to his mother. Ooh. There's so much wrong with that statement that I don't even want to start. Do you see how religion has replaced the gospel? Religion is offended by the truth. Pride is offended by the truth. When you hit somebody with the fact that they're a sinner on their way to hell because of their sin, and they have to admit that, that pricks a little bit. Hang on here. Doctrine is to please God, not man or a church. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't preach the gospel because it makes everybody happy. Because it doesn't. I do preach the gospel because it makes God happy. Amen. And when I watch somebody bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, I want to go, woohoo, glory to God, look what happened.
Amen.
Does it make sense, preacher? It doesn't have to make sense. It pleases God. And I want you to understand, we have the same gospel given to us that had been given to the Apostle Paul by Jesus himself. Go back to Acts chapter 1 for a second. Acts chapter 1, one of my favorite verses. We miss so much when we read the Bible so fast. Look at chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. These are the very last words of our Savior after the 40 days after resurrection. 7 days prior to Pentecost. He said, now fellas, get off your blessed do-nothing. Get up, take the gospel to everybody, everywhere. You heard me do it for 3.5 years. Now do it. Then what does it say? Verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They're watching him go. Now watch this, verse number 10. And while they looked, what's the next word? Do you know what the word steadfastly means? Screwed into place. They were just locked and loaded. They didn't move. While they looked steadfastly. Wait a minute, Jesus didn't say stand there and watch me go. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did he not? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? My favorite part of the verse. This same Jesus, not another, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. Hey, when the rapture takes place, the same Jesus that went up from the disciples is coming back for us. Amen. It's not another. It's not one like him. This same Jesus. Amen. That ought to make you want to tell somebody the truth. Well, man wants tradition over doctrine. Man wants to turn tradition into doctrine. Can I tell you why? His pride. Why do you think they dress him up in all kinds of phylacteries and $500,000 grapefruit on his head and call him El Papa? I could call him a few other names, but I'm not going to. Well, we want someone that represents, he could speak ex cathedra in the place of God. When any man lifts himself up to the point where he speaks in God's stead as God, he's not the vicar of heaven, he's the vicar of hell. He's antichrist. He is an antichrist, not the antichrist, but an antichrist. And we've allowed traditions to dress somebody up, call him El Papa and the Pope and kiss his ring. If I got that close, I'd bite the stupid thing off. You think I'm going to kiss that? No way. Doctrine is to be set by the Bible, not a church. Yes, doctrine is to be set by the Word of God, not a man. Doctrine is to be set by the words of God himself.
That's right.
Not tradition. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I promise the next points should go faster. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Through what? Which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, it didn't talk about church doctrine. Didn't talk about the acrostic for what a Baptist believes. Hello? I can simplify it. The B-I-B-L-E. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Okay, what's that first word?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. That means this. We're to get our doctrine from the Holy Scriptures.
Right.
Not church tradition.
Amen.
Not history. Doctrine comes from the Word of God. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, really furnished unto all good works. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Same, right there, you're right there. Verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the what?
Word.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and... Where do we get that doctrine? From the Word. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own what? Lusts. Shall they heap to themselves teachers. Well, I don't want a preacher. I want more of a teacher. Having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the what? and they shall be turned unto fables, stories. Denomination is filled with Sunday school classes that tell stories with no truth. I don't care how many stories you know about the Bible, how much doctrine do you know? Stories won't change you, they illustrate the truth. How much doctrine and truth do you know? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm to be an expert at God's doctrines, not man's doctrines. We don't need to meet every 3 or 7 years and decide what new doctrines we're going to have in our church. They haven't changed in 2,000 years. They're not going to change now. And churches that meet and change their doctrines, watch this, Southern Baptists are having a hard time right now because some are squawking about women and sodomites as pastors in Southern Baptist churches. Now they want to take it back and say women can't pastor, and they're rebelling. Well, I could have taken 1 Timothy and shown them where it says that a woman shouldn't pastor a church. Southern Baptists were long, long time ago. By the way, they don't even know which Bible to use. Okay, I got to hurry up here. Number two, so we need to please God with right doctrine. Number two, we need to please God with methods, not just our message. God gave us a book of methods, not just a message. Do you know that the right message with the wrong method is wrong? There's so much I want to say right here. Let me break it down one simple way. You could have all the right words, but put rock music to it. Right message, wrong methods. The devil's music should not contain God's message. Plain and simple. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
When we start fiddling with the music, and it becomes a rock concert. Our churches in this area, they got stage shows, all the different colored lights. They got the fog machines. They got all the drums, electric guitars, you name it. They got the people that get up on the stage and boogie woogie boog and all that kind of stuff and jibber jabber and have their praise and worship teams. Show me one place in the scripture where they had that. Well, it's Christian rock, preacher. Rock and roll is a term came out in the 50s. It was a very vulgar term about impurity. We have children here. I won't go any farther. But it was the physical act between a man and a woman in marriage. That's what it means. And you want to put God's words to that? You see, I'm not speaking from what somebody told me. Do the research. The average Southern gospel group in America today looks worse than the Beatles did when they landed in the 60s. And mamas and daddies were having a cow when the Beatles came. I'll guarantee if I pulled the Beatles album from the early 1960s when they landed here in America, compared it to almost any Southern Baptist group today, the Beatles would be cleaner than the quote-unquote Christian musicians today. Elvis Presley got his start singing church music. Elvis Presley was a saved man, but he was not right with God. Most of your country western singers got their start in church. But I hate to tell you something. Their churches weren't singing the right music or their kids wouldn't have gone that direction. Everybody doing okay? Look at Acts chapter 2. God didn't just give us a message. He gave us the method by which to do the message. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Those that got saved got baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The church didn't start there. It had already been started. You can't add to something that was not there. Started in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what?
Doctrine.
Oh, there's that word again. Must have had the Bible. And fellowship. And breaking of bread. 4th of July picnics. And in prayers. That word bread means desserts. And hey, I'm just preaching the book, amen? And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions, goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God gave us a divine method. It's called the gospel preaching church. We could go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We read it. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Mark 16, 15. We call it the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And bring them, getting them baptized, teaching them, and sending them out, and teaching them to go soul winning, and getting their converts in. And that is exactly what God said the purpose of the church is. I'm for missions, but it's an extension of our soul winning. It shouldn't replace our soul winning.
Amen.
If you're giving money towards missions, God bless you, but you're supposed to walk across the street or across the aisle at the grocery store, give somebody a gospel tract and witness to them.
Right.
I don't find anywhere in Scripture that there's such a thing as a digital church. Oh, oh, oh. We now have Baptists who are now having what they call digital soul winning. We'll put our gospel tract out there and get it across many different mediums, and people will read it and get saved by the millions. And they've quit going door to door. They're going button to button. I'm not against you putting the gospel out on the internet somewhere. God knows they need it. But that shouldn't replace going door to door, person to person, house to house, telling folks about Jesus Christ. Everybody doing all right? The God who owns and designed the church has a right to say how it's supposed to run.
Yeah, that's right.
If a man starts a business and somebody works for him, that man who works for him doesn't have the right to change the business.
Right.
If you work at Burger King, you're not supposed to go down the road and buy 100 Big Macs and bring them to Burger King and sell them at Burger King at a cheaper price. So, well, if we had them both here, we could make more money. I got a good idea. Yeah, but you're not going to be working at Burger King very long. You see, you didn't start the business. You don't have the right to make that a decision. Then why do we want to change God's church? Well, the deacons should... Wait a minute. God gave deacons to serve in the church. You didn't have deacons until Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 7. Deacons never did run the church. The man of God ran the church. I love our deacons. God knows that. They know that. I know that. You couldn't have better men than our deacons. But they ain't here to run the church. There are some preachers that get mad when I say that because their people listen to my sermons. According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, for ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's according to Acts chapter 9, where Paul got saved, where he was persecuting the church. Now, the gospel pleases God, religion pleases man. It's not the church of your choice, it's the church of God's choice. Everybody doing okay? Now, I got to hurry up here. I have 4 minutes. I might go 30 seconds over. The gospel is not God's. The gospel is God's, not man's, and not the church's. Folks, the gospel is from God, not from the Baptists. The gospel isn't even from the church. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of the Baptist church. Everybody doing okay? Man wants his religion to please God instead of pleasing God himself. God wants you as an individual to please him, not just our church to please him. Let me ask you a question. If the spirituality of Grace Baptist Church ran at the level of spirituality you are, what could God do? Paul did not get saved by man. It was Jesus himself who led Paul to Christ. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The gospel was never man's. It has always been God's. Turn quickly, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, very quickly. As soon as I get there, I'm going to read. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8. Though he were a son, capital S, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal what? The author of eternal salvation is Jesus Christ, correct? That means it was his, not ours. We're not supposed to fiddle with the gospel. James chapter 1, verse number 1, verse number 14, you can look those up later. It talks about the salvation is of Jesus Christ. He authored our salvation. Now look at me very carefully. When people start saying, well, you have to make him Lord of your life and turn from your sin to get saved, they're a heretic. You can't turn from your sin because you can only add a new nature to your sinful nature. You're still a sinner. Well, what about repentance? Repentance means exactly this. You go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven.
That's right.
The very moment you turn from trusting yourself to trusting Jesus Christ, you have repented. Everybody doing okay? Well, he has to be Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. That's a famous quote from the 70s. That's a filthy, vile lie from hell itself. Jesus is Lord whether you make him Lord or not.
Amen.
Nothing you can do to make him Lord. He's already the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't make him Lord because you don't have the authority and you're not a king to give that title to Jesus. Put that in your pipe and smoke it a while. We have no right to change what the gospel is. I had some tweety little twerp email me. I preached a sermon not long ago and said that man was given the gift of God is the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that what? That faith is not of yourselves. Then you go to Romans 12:3. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Well, that's not true. When somebody gets saved, they have to put their faith in Jesus Christ. I said, well, he said, it's not a gift of God. I said, what do you do with Romans 12:3? God hath given to man the measure of faith. I said, when somebody gives me something, it's a gift. We are not saved by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Everybody doing okay? Because it's not our salvation, it's his.
Yes, sir.
We didn't author it, he did. Amen. Quit fiddling with it. Amen. Only faith and truth please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Listen to me very carefully. We are not supposed to live our life trying to please man. Now I'm going to take 30 seconds, and I'm going to say it nicely, but this one's going to hurt. Soul winning has never been about building a church. Sick and tired of preachers. Well, we don't go soul winning anymore because it doesn't build a church. I said, you don't go soul winning to build a church. You go soul winning to be right with God.
That's good.
You go soul winning to keep people out of hell, not build your church.
Amen.
Get out of your office and start knocking on doors. Quit drinking so much coffee and eating so much food that you're too fat to go soul winning. Go soul winning. Now, listen to this statement. Soul winning is hard on us sinners because we don't want somebody to reject us. Well, I'm not sure if I could say it right, preacher. I'm just afraid somebody... hang on here. Are you trying to please God or man? Every time you cower away in soul winning, you're saying I'm trying to please man, not God. I didn't say, bless God, I'm going to get them. I hope they're not home. Because I have the same flesh you have, but I'm standing there knocking. Where are you? Well, I just have this fear. You're looking at the most fearful person you ever met when it comes to soul winning. So I've been out with you. Yeah, and it scares me to death every time. But I still do it. Because it's not about me. And I've had everything said to me that could be said to me. Don't you worry. But I'm not out there to please them. Matter of fact, Jesus said if they don't listen to you, shake the dust off and go to the next town and find out somebody to listen to you.
Amen.
This is why we're afraid to go. You will never please all men. But we can please God.
Amen.
Well, I went and nobody got saved. It's okay, you still please God. I went many times and didn't see anybody say, it doesn't matter, you can still please God. You went.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting there cowering in fear and trying to ignore it, how about we obey God and not try to please man? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Do you seek to please man or God? Do we want to be people pleasers or God pleasers? What's holding you back? What's holding you back?